Hey everybody, this is Jeremy Foster. You can find me online at codefoster.com. And I'm doing a quick video here with Mark Michaelis from Spokane, Washington. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Jeremy.
Mark, where can people find you online if they have questions after the show?
Probably the best place is to catch me on Twitter at Mark Michaelis or on my blog, IntelliTect, IntelliTect/Mark.
Wonderful. We're going to be talking about C-sharp scripting today. Mark's been playing with this quite a bit. He's a C-sharp guy anyway. You've got a book on C-sharp, isn't that right?
I do. Essential C-sharp just came out with Essential C-sharp 6 about a month ago.
Cool. Go get his book and tune in today to learn about how C-sharp is coming to a scripting environment. It's coming to the command line. It's pretty neat. It was an announcement that was made recently at Microsoft's big Connect conference. If you missed Connect, you can catch all the videos on Channel 9, channel9.msdn.com, but I'm assuming you know how to get to Channel 9 since this video is landing on Channel 9. Anyway, Mark's going to talk to you about what C-sharp scripting is, why you should care, when you would use it, and maybe even doing a little bit of expectation setting. Is that right?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So I want to start out by saying sort of as you approach sort of C-sharp scripting, you get there's two features that are added. Firstly, there's, of course, the language. And there are actually some differences between C-sharp 6 and what is available in C-sharp scripting. So we'll talk about some of those differences. And then, of course, you also get C-sharp on the command line. So you can actually go onto the command line and you can start writing each of your expressions or your statements on the command line and have them take effect. As soon as you push the Enter key, it'll go ahead and start interacting. So you have two sort of ways to interact with that. And then there's two environments specifically that you can work with. You can work with CSI.exe or you can work with Visual Studio, and both of them provide a command line interface for writing C-sharp code and having it execute immediately as you enter it. The one thing that was important for me when I started to do this, and I'll do a demonstration, is I started opening up a window and sort of said, hey, let's get started with this. And I went to a command prompt. If you open up a developer command prompt from Visual Studio 2015, just go to Windows and search for developer command prompt. You can go ahead and type csi.exe, and that'll go ahead and give you a command prompt that you actually now inside a C-sharp environment on the command line. So I can go here and I can type system.console.writeline. And I can go ahead and write that. And you'll notice that's just a C-sharp statement like you would have in any other case. And I can go ahead and enter that. And it'll go take that C-sharp statement and it'll execute it right away and display the output to command line. Now,
what's the prerequisite here? Like if I did that on my developer.
Point. Yeah, no, that's a great point. Thank you. So in order for you to be able to go ahead and run CSI.exe, you're first going to have to install update one of Visual Studio. So if you go into your Visual Studio environment and you do about, you'll notice that in my case, I'm running actually the update one install has been created. So you want to go ahead and download that. Chocolaty, of course, has it available. But you want to make sure that you're running update one, because if you don't have update one, you won't be able to have the C-sharp scripting environment. So it's a pretty simple install, and that'll go ahead and give you the ability to run C-sharp scripting.
So that update gives me the ability to run C-sharp scripting both in Visual Studio as well as at the command line, right?
That's correct. It gives you both environments. So it'll extend Visual Studio with the ability to start doing C-sharp scripting, and then it'll give that command line that I'm showing there, csi.exe.
I'm just going to reiterate, though, the command line that you went to was not just your typical command line. You went to the developer command line for Visual Studio. So it's kind of got some paths set and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I go into everything and do .exe, you'll notice that it's actually going ahead and installing csi.exe as part of the C-sharp, the .NET framework install. With update one, you sort of start to get the csi.exe to execute.
Wait, what in the world is everything?
Everything is a little program I use that basically indexes every single file in my hard drive. And I've set it up so I can do Windows F and it'll pop up everything and it'll go ahead and allow me to type anything and get that instantaneously.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
Start executing that file. There's a Chocolaty script for this that I actually wrote and maintain to go ahead and do an install. So if you go ahead and type choco space install everything or cinst everything, it'll just go ahead and install it and give it available to you.
There's a related tip that I might just throw out here right now. In the Linux world, you can type the word which, and then if there's some command that you're running but you're not sure what enables that command, whether it's an exe file somewhere, it's on a path, you know, who knows how you got it. Like let's say I'm going to be executing node. In Linux, I could say which node, and then it would tell me which node. And look at this, PowerShell actually has an alias. I didn't know that. So I could just say which node, and it'll tell me where it actually found the node that would run if I just typed node. I was, until I just learned that by teaching it to myself, I was running where.exe, because PowerShell does have a where alias that gets in your way. So you have to type where.exe node, and it does essentially the same thing in kind of the Windows-y way. So it's returning it to me as a Windows path. So
in PowerShell, you can go ahead and type get. You can do exactly what you just demonstrated, right. But you can also do a get command.
And is this only PowerShell commands?
These are any command. So any here command? I can do this, CSI. And then I can do a dot path, and it'll go ahead and tell me the path.
Oh, that's really helpful.
So that's how PowerShell is basically doing your which command, is it looks through it and can basically find any command. Excellent. But now if you actually did a PowerShell command specifically, it's not going to have a path because that's a CSE. So you wouldn't be looking for paths for things that are not that. But of course, you can do a get command, and it'll tell you where that command comes from. So you can do that on any command for C#. You can do a get command, just not all of them support a path because some of them are built in.
Okay, and now just to further our digression
just
a little
CSI
bit.
Discussion?
Yeah, right, exactly. I was going to say it's a digression, but I think it's really helpful. And I'm just going to continue it for one more step, and then we promise everybody we'll get back to our topic. Your command prompt is 01234. Is that so that you can reflect and run previous commands?
That is, so you can do that. So I can go back to one, and I can go ahead and get it to execute command.
I guess there wasn't a one.
But actually, the reason I'm doing that is because I'm recording every single history command. So even when I shut down the prompt and I reopen it up, it keeps my history, keeps track of my history. So this time I happened to have cleared it out before I started. But yeah, it actually keeps track of all the history. So I can actually call any other command that you can do. But if you do pound and you start doing tab, you can actually execute through the previous commands this way. And then pound one will actually go allow you to execute a
super helpful. Okay, back to the topic at hand. So we've got CSI installed now because you ran the update one for Visual Studio. And now you've got us on the command prompt, and you just did a system console write line. That's just a C# line of code, right?
Yeah, nothing special about it. It's the C# you're all very familiar with, except for the obvious point that it doesn't have all the ceremony, right? I didn't have to go declare a class. I didn't have to go define a namespace or even define a function. I literally just typed a statement, and it went in output. Now, the interesting thing about this case is I can go ahead and type it that way, but I can also go ahead and type it as an expression like that, and it'll also go ahead and output it out. So the semicolon has significance, and we'll see why that matters. For example, I could go ahead and declare a variable, so I can go and say string hello equals this is a test of the emergency. I can do that, and I can hit enter, and you'll notice that the command isn't finished because it's actually saying, hey, I don't know if you finished typing here. Do you want to do something else? I don't really know. And I can type a semicolon and then go ahead and done. Now, in that case, if I now go type hello, it'll go ahead and output that text to the window.
So it's important here then for a person to understand in C# the difference between a statement and an expression, right?
Well, many people don't, so I don't want to overstate the importance of it. But you'll notice in this case, the statement's not finished. There could be more context, so you need that. But you can just go type an expression. Let me show you here. I just typed hello, which is not a valid expression in C#. C# says, hey, you need to go ahead and assign it. I mean, you need to do something with just typing hello. And so if I went and did something like .get type, then I can go ahead and do that. And of course, it's printing out the type. But you'll notice if I go put a semicolon on the end of that statement, so this is a statement, and I'm putting a semicolon in, and I do, nothing happens. Because it turns out that the semicolon will go ahead and hide the output. So if there is output, the output will go ahead and be hidden when you use a semicolon. But if you just use it as an expression, like I do here, then it goes and displays that expression, displays the output. So there's some context there you do need to understand.
Well, if we go back to your first line, though, you did a write line with a semicolon at the end, and it didn't hide anything.
Because whenever you got a semicolon, so the reason it didn't hide it is because the statement itself went ahead and displayed something to the command line.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great question. So when I went to go say write line, when it executes that statement, the very nature of that statement is to write something to the console, not hide it. It's only the return of the expression that gets written to command line automatically for you.
So you're in your last example, hello.getType returns this thing, this string. That is the results of the expression, and the semicolon hides it.
Yeah. Okay. I could do something like this. So you get history, by the way. So the up arrow, down arrow, it gives you history. So I could go reassign hello. So the question here, if I go say hello equals, I need a statement. Uh, So if I go do that, and if I go ahead and put a no semicolon here, what's it going to do?
I think it's going to give you that string.
It turns out it's exactly right. It's going to go ahead and print the output, because when you do an assignment, the output of the assignment is the value. So your string, it says, hey, it's going to go do that. Now, if I did this with a semicolon at the end, it's not going to do anything, because the semicolon, of course, hides the output.
Right.
But you'll notice that up here, when I did it with so using the semicolon has significant a result as you're coming out. You know, how much this really matters, I think it matters if you're executing a lot of statements on the command line. It's not a critical factor if you're trying to sort of test this code. So if we return back to the original topic you asked, sort of what are the expectations? The expectations is this gives you an environment for you to try quick and dirty scripting. So instead of opening up Visual Studio and writing console number 532, where you want to go and test a few lines of C# code, this allows you to go ahead and do that right from the command line. And you can write one statement at a time, or you can write a C# script, which we'll talk about in a bit. You can do any of those things and start to interact for the quick and dirty kinds of stuff you want to go ahead and write. And so that's important. The one thing to note is that this is not a replacement for PowerShell, at least not yet. I think the vision is there. We're going to get there. But you should approach this as a way of not having to do another unit testing project or another console project. The reason I point out that it's not a PowerShell replacement yet is because you can't do something like, you know, CD dot dot, right? That's not going to work, because that's not a valid C# statement, and that's not going to work, because what is CD in C#? It doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted to go ahead and, you know, let's say PWD, you want to actually just go display your current path, and you can't just type PWD, you would have to go write a function, so we can go ahead and say string PWD, which doesn't correspond to our naming convention, of course, and then we can go and output and say system.environ.
Do I have tab completion?
Not in this environment, but inside Visual Studio.
Okay.
Studio. So current directory. And we can make that a statement, and then we can do that. Maybe that's a function. We might have to correct this
edit. Now, while Mark's typing that, I'll let everybody know that we're going to break this video into two parts. This first part, we're going to give you a little bit of an orientation to what C# scripting is, talk about, you know, how you might use it, and give you a bit of a getting started, which Mark's already covered, basically just installing Visual Studio Update 1. Then we're going to stop the feed and give you another part 2 video where we drill into some of the things that you can do here on the command line using Visual Studio. It's kind of the same environment, but you get some visual help with it and things like that. So that'll be in part 2.
So here, I typed it right the first time, but I misspelled environment and I didn't have IntelliSense. So if you want to go ahead and write a function, now I can go ahead and type PWD. But of course, because it's C#, I need to actually invoke the function. So
right.
Here, I'm going to go ahead and invoke the function and go ahead and output that. So this time I went and said, hey, your current directory, there it is. So you can imagine we can build up a whole series of functions that allow us to do this. And up on GitHub, I created a C# script EX, so CS script EX, where we've got a bunch of starting sort of functions for you that you can go ahead and do it.
Where's that on GitHub?
CS script EX.
Like that?
That's correct.
All right.
So all I've done there is gone ahead and started a list of files. I don't think they're, well, they will
maybe
be.
Maybe you forgot to push.
I will have by the time this goes live.
And that's where it will be.
And so I've just started a library, and of course it's open source, so anyone can contribute there. But you can basically go start adding your commands like ls and cd and dir, and those things that you just use and naturally need, those will go ahead and be available on the command line.
Wonderful. Okay, well, how about we go ahead and wrap this one up and jump right into some fun Visual Studio command line stuff?
That'd be great.
Okay.